Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, thank God the Lord's given us another day, and I'm so glad to be with you wherever you are in the world. We have a program that is heard all over the world. We know it from the hits we have on our internet, and I'll get the word right. And so we thank the Lord that we can be with you, and the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And, you know, if we're saved, we have so many things to rejoice about. But first of all, Brother Al always has a very inspiring section that we talk about the Holy Bible and the and science, and show how the Bible is actually ahead of any scientific knowledge that we have. So Brother Al has got a science degree from Colorado State University, and he's also pastor at Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he's the co-host, and we're so glad for him. So go ahead, Brother Al.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be on again today. And I want to welcome everybody listening and remind you that you can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can listen to past programs there, read a little bit about Bruce Musselman there. And also you can find some of the resources that Bruce mentions from time to time. We've got a number of them linked up there on whereisgodsword.com. Well, Bruce, I was looking at something today, and most of my background's in biology, so I really kind of find it interesting because in the course of studying biology, I had to study evolution, obviously, and there's an interesting thing that we find in the fossil record, and that's this thing called the Cambrian explosion. And the Cambrian explosion is kind of unique because during that time, virtually all of the animal phylets, one of the larger classifications of animals, appeared intact immediately at the same time. Now, if anybody's familiar with evolution states that we started with some glob of goo that essentially turned into a cell that began to replicate, and that cell eventually turned into another type of cell, and eventually went from one-celled creature to a multi-celled creature, and then the multi-celled creature began to grow and expand, and eventually we went from a gob of glue to man. And just over a millennia. Well, problem with that is the fossil record doesn't show it at all. And in fact, we have found that virtually all of the major body forms and types that we see in animals that exist today all appeared at the same time, rather than over a period of time. I don't remember the exact sequence of fossils, but there's a fossil sequence that even the Smithsonian Institute has presented as representing the evolution of the bird, and it shows them evolving from these dinosaurs eventually into birds. But the problem is that several of the fossil dinosaurs that were in the line were actually older than the ones that they were descended from. It's like, that would be like saying that you're your own grandpa or something like that. But they tried to explain it away, saying that the valley where these were found in China, it was a unique condition where these older forms outlasted the ones that existed everywhere else, so that the fossils of the older ones could appear younger than their descendants. And it was all kind of mental gyrations that they went through. But it's interesting, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and we read the story of the creation week in Genesis chapter 1, and first and foremost on the third day is when all the plants were brought forth on the earth, and of course that's contrary to evolutionary teaching, and then getting into the The fourth day, we have sun, moon, stars. And then when we get to the fifth day, this is where the fish and the birds appear in the Genesis account of creation. Now, this is the people who believe that God used evolution will seize on this and say, well, he created fish, or the fish occurred first, and then eventually one of the fish crawled out of the land and thought it was kind of nice and developed lungs and legs and claws and teeth and became animals. And the problem with this is it also says whales occurred that day. And, of course, evolutionists say, well, whales was once an animal that crawled out of the sea. They lived for a while on land, and eventually they longed for the sea again, and they went back into the sea and became whales. The other problem, too, is that birds were created on that day, and, of course, evolutionists say that a fish crawled out of the water and eventually turned into a dinosaur, and the dinosaur longed for the sky. You know, he made out of the water onto the land, so he longed for the sky and eventually grew feathers and wings and became a bird.
Pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it is kind of a nice little fantasy fairy tale, but none of the evolutionary sequence reflects any of this, but if you've studied biology in high school, you've no doubt been taught this. I can still remember when I was at Colorado State University, I think it was my first year out there, large lecture class dealing with evolution, and the professor, who's an evolutionist, gave us the evolutionary chart of the horse, said, you've all been taught this. And this, keep in mind, I don't know that she was an atheist, but she sure wasn't a Christian, and she was an ardent evolutionist. And she said, you've all been taught this in your high school biology classes. And people are nodding, yeah. And she said, one problem with it, it's not true. Everybody's kind of looking at her. She says, we present this because we don't have anything better. And it shows what we want to illustrate. So we tell people it's true. And she told us, keep in mind, this is an evolutionist teaching evolution at Colorado State University in the late 70s, early 80s. And she said one of the animals, the Eohippus or whatever, forerunner of the modern horse, was actually a rock hyrax that lives today, not even a horse. So, you know, I always find it kind of interesting when you need to teach a lie in order to promote a theory that you don't have evidence for, and then tell people it's the truth, and you shouldn't question it. So the Bible says that on the fifth day, the fish and the whales and the birds were all brought forth. It's not until day six that you get the land animals. And the land animals all appear on one day, and also on day six, God created man. And this is interesting. I'm not going to take the time to read all through this, but this creates a great deal of consternation for evolutionists. And a great book called Darwin's Doubt, and I'm not going to endorse everything that's in Darwin's Doubt, but they bring this up, and the evolutionists really haven't been able to answer this. In fact, they admit that all these things appeared at one time, and they come up with things like we were taught at Colorado State University, the hopeful monster theory, which they kind of ridiculed at the time, but has since gained greater acceptance. That was literally a dinosaur laid an egg and a mouse popped out. How about that? This is what we were talking about at Colorado State University in the early 80s.
You need a lot of faith to believe that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. So that's why I contend today it takes more faith to believe evolution than it takes to believe the creation account of Genesis. And just looking at this, if you looked at it independently with an open mind, and you have a theory that has no real evidence, and what evidence it does have, it has to be explained away because it shows that all the major animal types came about at one time. So you have to try and explain how that really means they happened over millions of years. And then you have another theory that says they all came about at one time because they were created at one time. Which one on the surface makes more sense? Well, that's why the scientists go with evolution, because it makes no sense. It's nonsense. And in order to teach nonsense, they have to put a hold on common sense, and because it makes no sense when you think about it. But when you look at the Bible, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because it comes
sure
from God, and God knows what he did. So.
Well, thank you for that exposition there. And, you know, I was always interested in the news. And what do you think about what the latest the latest deal that Trump has made with the Palestinians.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I hold no hope in it coming to into operation, because the Arabs, the Muslims, are not going to go along with it, because I think part of it requires recognizing Israel as a legitimate state and as a Jewish state. And of course, Hamas and Hezbollah, as well as the Palestinian Authority, and all of them are adamantly opposed to this. Yasser Arafat, when he was alive and head of Palestine Authority, he was the founder of the Palestine Liberation Organization. He was a terrorist. He gave the world the human suicide bombers, and of course, the world gave him peace prize as a result. But he was offered at various times, going back into the Clinton presidency, various peace plans that gave him just about everything that he wanted, except it included the recognition of Israel, and he absolutely refused to accept it, because the Muslims in the area, they are adamantly opposed to the presence of a Jewish state there in the Middle East.
You know, I think Sadat, who was president of Egypt, Israel gave a big section of the Sinai back to Egypt,
right,
which they controlled. And he made a peace with Israel, and for that he was shot. He's killed.
Yeah, the Muslim Brotherhood, a terrorist organization, assassinated him.
So, you know, the thing that's interesting is God has something to say about that, and it's in Joel chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He says this statement, and this is, people don't, they don't have respect for God's word, but it doesn't matter. I mean, as far as God's concerned, he's going to do exactly what he said. But listen to this. For behold, in those days, in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, that's an amazing statement right there, because God promises to bring the Jews back to the land, and that's exactly what's happening. They've come back to the land. And then it says, at that time when he brings them back to the land, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now, there's a lot of information right there. First of all, he says, I will gather the nations. And so today, in the United Nations, they are passing resolution after resolution constantly against Israel. And you see that it's going to end up in a war in which they come against Judah. That's the Jewish people and Jerusalem. And then it says, I'll gather all nations. So God himself will be behind it. They will come against the city of Jerusalem and will plead with them for my people. Now, God calls the Jewish people my people. Now, people say that Jewish, there's a teaching in so-called Christianity that the Jews are permanently cursed and that the Christians or the Catholic Church has received all the blessings that God gave to the Jews. Well, that is not in the Bible. And this program is all about the Bible. We believe that it is God's word. So we don't pay any attention to church tradition or church councils. We go by this, what the Bible says. So God right here calls this people from Judah and Jerusalem my people. Now, we know this, that when, and I have repeated this many times, when Jesus was born, the angel said that Jesus would rule over the house of Jacob forever. Now, that there's no way you can get around it. That's talking about the Jewish people. If Jesus rules over them forever, then it's an everlasting nation. And the Bible says in other places, all other nations will be destroyed, but the Jewish people, the Jewish nation will go on. Now, God has given them a mission, and that is to be a light for the Gentiles. And in reality, when God was ruling over them and when they were obeying God, they were a great light then. But then when Jesus came, although their leaders who were collaborating with the Romans, were responsible for getting the Romans to crucify Jesus, yet that many of the people in Jerusalem turned out for him, thousands turned out for him and recognized him as the king of Israel. And when those leaders that were collaborators did that, they went against the law of Moses, which said that when a king, they have a king, it should not be from among the nations, but it should be one of their brethren. So the king was supposed to be Jews. So these collaborationist Jews in Jerusalem that were in the some of the leading people in Israel at that time, when they went against Jesus, they went against the law of Moses. But God said that Israel would be a light for the nation. So thousands of Jewish people, and we believe that probably maybe 50, as high as 50,000 people looking at the New Testament accounts, were believers in Jesus right there in Jerusalem. And so when the leaders persecuted them, they went out and were scattered to the nations. And the New Testament says two times that everybody on earth at that time heard the news of Jesus. And that's an astounding statement. Why? Because Israel was to be a light for the nations. And so they were, and they told the light of the Lord Jesus. They told the message that Jesus was come. He was the Son of God, or God the Son, and that he did the miracles. He raised the dead, healed the sick, and so on. And that in reality, he, when he died on the cross, he showed God's wrath and judgment on sin because of the fact that he was beaten and whipped and crucified. But he showed God's love for man in that when Jesus died, the greatest thing for mankind in all of history is he was punished in our place. So that if we repent and put our faith in him and trust him as our Lord and Savior, that means that when we die, we meet God without any record of any that we've ever sinned. It says, he shall keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That means with wonderful, great joy, I will meet my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in a human body. And you know, the story, the birth story of Jesus was that God was taking on a human body. In the Old Testament, all these prophecies were given, and one of them it says, thou hast made me a body. And so God took on a human body in the womb of Mary and then lived 33 years, died on the cross. And Jesus said, the Son of Man, talking about himself, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. And that is the payment of the debt of our sins, which every man either will pay for himself, or Jesus has already paid for it, and by if they repent, put their faith in him, they have eternal life. And so this verse says then, and we will continue, it says, when he brings again the captivity of Judah, which he's really doing, and it'll be completed when Jesus comes. And Jerusalem, gather all nations, bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And you know, the world is getting ready for that because they're going against Israel now in the United Nations. And they will raise an army and go against Israel and Jerusalem. And he will plead for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And at that time, Jesus will return and judge the nations. And he would judge them for, it says, parting my land. God gave that land to the Jewish people, to Israel, and it is theirs forever. And anybody that goes against it will be judged. Now, we see that this God that they do not believe in, that they ridicule, in this Bible they ridicule, that it is true, absolutely true, and God is working today. You know, when one of our presidents, it was President Bush, suggested to divide up the land, some kind of a big, huge storm came up in the Atlantic, and some kind of wall of water went right in and hit his, smashed right into his house. And then another time, the United States government pressured Israel to withdraw from the Gaza Strip. And so after pressuring them, they sent the Israeli army into the Gaza Strip, and they forced the settlers out that had been there for years in that area. And that area belonged to Israel, that God had given to Israel. And when they did that, within 24 hours, the United States got hit with a with a storm that destroyed 120,000 homes in the United States. God is alive and well. God has all power in heaven and earth. He's the King. And so today, there's a scripture verse that says, for us as Christians, as believers, it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author of our faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the author. Muslims says, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. Well, that's right, because we got a religion not from a man. We got it from God. Jesus is God. And He was the one that wrote this Bible, and He was the one that keeps this Bible. Some people believe that he gave us the Bible and just took off. That's nonsense. He kept the Bible perfect. And today He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And Jesus says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words that thou hast given me. And He gave them the words at Pentecost, preserved those words, and the King James translators, guided by the Holy Spirit, kept those words. And today, when you read a King James Bible, you are reading the very words of Jesus Christ. If we are not, and this is the Bible that has sold 5 billion copies all over the world, and God's people keep going back to it year, generation after generation, and the counterfeit Bibles that come out, they just disappear when the advertising stops. But we have God's perfect word today, and it's spirit and life. You know, we need to read it. And if you haven't read the Bible, the Bible is God's word speaking to us. It's Jesus speaking to us. And I read my Bible every day, and He speaks to me, and He gives me comfort and encouragement and blessing and answers prayer. And I'm telling you, the Bible says about what He does for us, it says blessings will pursue us. That means it'll chase us down and overtake us. And the blessings start when we put our faith in Christ, and then we're forgiven of all of our sins, and then they continue on as God answers our prayers and just meets every need of our heart and soul and life and gives us peace and joy. And God wants to come into your life and forgive your sins and give you eternal life. I hope this day you'll say to Jesus, Lord, come into my life. Forgive my sins. I accept you. I surrender my heart and soul to you. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, and any addiction that you have, you say to Jesus, I surrender to you. And now you help me and trust the fact that He has won the victory and trust in Him. And He instantly can to take away any addiction. I've said it many times on the program, but I know this is true for myself. And I said to a lady one time in the hospital, I said, Jesus is the living God. And she said, He took me off of crack cocaine without going through withdrawal symptoms. And He is the living God, and He's powerful, and He's alive today. Well, I hope you just invite Him into your life and begin to believe in Him. Then read that Bible and then follow Jesus in baptism and go get in a church and start meeting with the saints of God, churches all over the world that believe God's word and believe in Jesus. And when you read the Bible, you're reading what Jesus said, and He'll talk to you in the Bible. Well, I'm so glad to be with you today. And the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord and rejoice in Him every day. We have so much to rejoice about. Think of all the good things that He's done for you, and just thank Him for it and rejoice. And the best is yet to come. Well, I just hope you have a wonderful new year and a good day today and forever, and that you'll know the joy of having Jesus Christ in your life. Well, God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.